to you, man. Either one is fine with me.
Okay, we could do wrestling first because there's a lot we could talk about wrestling.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, I'll pick my topic.
Okay, what's your topic then?
Best newcomers in porn.
I'm not surprised. I was gonna say it's gonna say porn. Like, yeah, I'm not surprised.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't do the females. You guys do the male part.
No.
Yeah, Knight Rider, formerly known as We Are Cats.
Nice. I'm just gonna call him Wildcats.
Is he selling two people? Okay. Well, I mean, for that to work out, I'm sorry. I just realized that.
Okay. Alright then. Okay, we'll start with wrestling.
Why not? I'm just here.
Okay. Alright. Okay, let's start. Okay, I'm gonna start recording. Okay, hold on. 3, 2, 1. Hello, everybody. This is Captain Katz, and welcome to another episode of Red Shoe Shoots, where we talk about wrestling every time, all the time. And here with me, of course, is Chewy.
Hey.
And Omega Kai.
I'm not here, man.
All right. Okay, so we got a lot to talk about this week because there's a lot of things going on in wrestling. First and foremost, a couple of things to talk about. First off, this past week, two big things happened. One was this past week was going to be the 29th. I think almost the 30th anniversary of the invasion angle in WWE.
Okay.
Yeah.
And which one, to clarify?
Oh, the one where Vince bought WCW, okay, but then turned out to be
one.
Shane.
I thought you meant the original one with DX.
Yeah, that one.
Yes, that one.
So you're talking about the second one then, the one where DR owned all the companies?
Yes.
Okay. That one, yeah. Okay, we
should
talk about that one,
okay, I guess. Yeah, and not only that too, but also Kenta Kobayashi's birthday just passed this week too. So happy birthday, Kenta Kobayashi.
How young is he?
Yeah, he's not listening.
Yeah, just though. Okay, so the invasion angle. What did you guys think of it when you guys saw it for the first time?
It was like. I was like, yeah, man, but nothing happens. So I'm like, oh, fuck this. Stupid.
Okay, language?
Yeah. Well, no, but seriously, like, what did you think about it at the time?
At the time, the delivery was pretty good. The first initial delivery was, you know, it makes sense because Paul Heyman was leading the way. And then suddenly, creative, you know how creative is, they decided... Well, since nobody's really competing with us, we could do whatever we want and just own the corner market thing. And, you know, this is when Stone Cold was already hurt and injured. And you gotta, you know, make lemonade.
Yep.
So, all that, the hoopla they created, didn't really, like he said, didn't go nowhere. But they could at least find a way to keep it going, keep the feud running until WCW became its own brand instead of SmackDown. So it'd been like WWE versus WCW every Survivor Series. Instead, they kind of like, WCW guys were buried too much. And they were just like not being pushed. Which makes sense because Vince was known for like, you know, pushing his own guys and his own brand more. But storyline wise, they should let Paul Heyman, you know, run with it back then.
Yeah. And here's a funny thing too. I did not know about this. When I was doing research about this, when I was reading up about this. They initially were going to bring back Nitro, but it was going to be under the WWE banner.
They were trying to
make its own show, and they failed because they were trying to sell it to TBS and TNT, and they were like, okay, we're staying where's Goldberg? Where's all these guys that used to be on Nitro? Where, yeah, you know? Yeah, they won. And so, like, TNT, TBS, and all that were just like, you know, man, screw it, we don't want this.
Good move.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as I said, it's like, originally that was the plan, the WCW versus WWE. And it was going to be his own show. But they test the audience, and the audience didn't respond well to WCW, you know, being there. So Vince saw it and was like, we can't really promote this because they're not responding well. In reality, he was pushing his own brand so hard that his yellow brand got buried. Instead of bringing the WCW guys over and bring the WCW crowd and the TBS crowd and TNT crowd over, they pretty much shunned them. And you know, especially what you did with Booker T when he came into WWE, he got buried and all that. Especially with the kind of racial line angle against Triple H.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't even a storybook ending at the end. Triple H won. So, and it wasn't his fault, but it's just the way it was written or the way it was developed was not catered towards the old WCW fanboys. It kind of like, we won, you lost, we're not going to be humiliated. So everybody was just shunned away from it. And also the ECW thing, too.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That was pretty sad.
It happened.
It took, like, you, even though Booker T later on had a good run, he did get a good run in WWE, but it took a while, it took a long while for that to happen. Not only that too, but also Benoit, Guerrero, but then you look at other guys like Malenko, Saturn, that they were just
pretty much guys, just like the Radicals. They came prior to our, before the WCW bought out. I'm talking more like Booker T in general, and you know, the ones that were WCW, like Hugh Morris. That's the reason why Goldberg didn't want to go, because, you know, besides money.
Yeah.
And the reason why Sting didn't want to go, because he saw how Booker was buried. And Jeff Jarrett couldn't go because, you know, he's pretty much banned at that time at WWE for ransoming the money.
Right.
So it was like all these politics going behind the thing, and then suddenly you try to make everybody happy, and you realize you can't do that because you've been fighting a war so long. You can't forget that your enemy is your worker now. And they got buried, so, you know. Politics and feelings were mixed. A situation, though.
Right, that's true. But if you look at it from a long run, we did get some pretty good things that came out of it. Like, you know, Impact came to be. TNA came, well, Impact TNA was born out of this. Not only that, but also we saw
the slow rise of New Japan. New Japan, you know, had a slow rise after this.
Yeah, because during that era of the invasion and all that, and even during the Ruthless Aggression, New Japan was kind of like in its dark age.
Yeah, because they cut off ties. Because New Japan only had ties with WCW. When they took over WCW, they kind of severed the ties. So it caused them to revamp itself, and, you know, the IWGP was invented. So.
Yeah.
That happened.
But yeah, that happened, and also, too, they also got partnerships with Mexico as well. So that was a good thing, too.
But there's a good thing when WWE developing. They started out relying on Ohio Valley Wrestling, and then they slowly realized, why can't we just develop our own talents the way WCW did? So they borrow a lot of things from WCW, like a power plant. You know, that's pretty much the new training center. So the performance center is really the power plant, you think about it. And also, like, they split the shows where it's, even though they're supposed to allow more time, more airtime, more showcase of superstars, you know, but it's better that way because everybody has, you know, a chance to sign, and also you know where nobody's gonna go. The brand split is bad, but it's also good, unless Cena's on it. He's gonna be on the whole show for the whole entire hour, but
that's true.
Yeah, there's good things too. Like Brock Lesnar was a development title. He was developed through the Ohio Valley Wrestling. Him and the prototype, John Cena himself. So they developed good stars.
Yeah, they did. Like Cena was a good one. Batista was also another one. Mm-hmm. Orton.
Brock Lesnar.
Lesnar.
A lot, really.
Bailey, Sasha, Bailey Banks.
Yeah, those are more the later years, the C years.
But yeah, but still.
So it created that, yeah. It created like a shift where instead of looking for indies, we could just develop our own.
That's true. Yeah. What about you, Chewy? Anything you'd like to chime in about this?
Yeah. Like hoping they will continue those Nitro, but like you guys mentioned, like that didn't happen. They did do the whole invasion thing, which the pool ECW and WCW is one that. That's the only thing. That was the only thing I liked because I was still a fan of WCW more than I was for. I was more a fan of ECW and WCW than I was for Monday Night Raw. I was just happy to see them doing something. And man, it was cool seeing Mike Awesome, Rhino, the Radicals.
Yeah,
man, that was a good man. All four of them being as the bad guys, as a their stable.
That WCW ECW days were just pretty much great performance, great wrestlers, but he couldn't hook and enthrall us like Stone Cold McMahon. Or Mankind, Undertaker. You know, it doesn't enthrall us. It doesn't,
The Rock.
Yeah, especially The Rock. The Rock, you know, became big. Famous actor in the world now. I mean, action star.
When he did the rival with Y2J.
Yeah, yeah. See, all the stuff. Yeah,
that was a good pop right there. Mm-hmm. The two biggest. Like great talkers, okay. Good chemistry between those two when they first showed up. Man,
yeah.
I
like that one where Jericho was just put his hand in front of The Rock's face. like no one ever done that. Do sell, and then he moved his hand back to his face and called him, and then he turned the hand and called him out. It's like oh. That was a good pop.
Yeah, that was really good with it.
To be honest, it really wasn't that old. It wasn't that long ago. It just it went by fast.
Yeah,
because they had a lot of wrestlers in the roster, and they didn't. That was way too much. Now that I think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why the brand split was a genius idea.
I don't think that all 39 writers had something to do. That's way too much, man.
I don't think they had writers yet this time. It's writers were kind of developed like later in like the 2010s.
Mm-hmm.
The early days. This is more like one more creative control and then an image and a pitch. Kind of what McMahon does. Paul Heyman should have taken over, but you know, it's... I guess he wasn't trusting with his financials and promises, empty promises. So he had a history of not delivering to his wrestlers.
Yeah.
I can see why they didn't trust him that well, because if you didn't pay your wrestlers and they still wrestle for you with loyalty, it's not good. I mean, you know, that stigma will come with you. But okay, overall, that invasion, good. It's like a match. You know, you ignite it. You know, it burns up real quick. It's fast. It's all, you know, glorious. Then it dims down. And it's like, unless you keep that fire burning and, you know, keep adding more fuel and more, you know, to keep it going, it's not really going to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. It's just going to die out.
Which it kind of did at the end. Like, I think almost at the middle of way. I think it burned up really quick in the beginning. And then just from...
Yeah.
Maybe from the midway all the way up to the end of it when... Because supposedly the invasion ended when Flair came on in November of that year. It kind of died really quick. Like, it didn't pick up any flames, it didn't pick up any gaining steam. It's kind of the best way I can say it. It was, in wrestling terms, it wasn't paced that well. There was storytelling. It was just wasn't paced right in the ring. They went Spot City first, and then, okay, what do we do after all this?
Yeah, there was bad storytelling, just in general.
Yeah.
But to be honest, my honest answer why it ended was a plane ride from hell. You know, the plane ride from hell, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where Mr. Perfect and Brock Lesnar got in a fight and all that, you know. And then the Ludacris.
Supposedly Lada.
Yeah, and Ric Flair, you know, sexual assault, you know, that kind of stuff. And the drugs and alcohol. Yeah. And I think that was, like, the straw that destroyed everything. And because the invasion angle with NWO was pretty good. And then it wasn't a great match. It was the opposite. Good storyline key, yeah. But no good performance. Because Scott Hall had issues this time. Stone Cold was injured.
Uh-huh.
I think they're trying to make Hogan a face again, which they shouldn't have done. You know, Hogan versus The Rock,
mm-hmm.
once in a lifetime kind of thing. Yeah, mm-hmm. it just had a lot of things that didn't go right.
Yeah,
also no true. Competition. It's no competition this time.
Yeah, it was nothing at all.
Yeah.
So speaking of no competition, moving right along from that.
You talking about the Chargers?
No, not that.
You mean no, Tampa Bay?
Huh? No. It's apparently there's a lot of news coming out from WWE's camp regarding of the tapings, the WrestleMania tapings right now. Apparently, there's a lot of wrestlers that are walking away or not being a part of because of certain reasons. For example, Dave Meltzer reported this week that here's the following names of wrestlers that are not going to be at WrestleMania, and with reasons why. For example, The Miz will not be in any. He was supposed to have him and Morrison was supposed to have. They're put the titles on the line against.
Yeah.
The New Day.
We know why. Why The Miz can't come in.
The Miz can't come in because he has an illness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Dana Brooke was pulled from her match from that women's six-way because she is quarantined.
Yes, because she travels a lot, yeah.
Yeah. Rey Mysterio is also not going to be in WrestleMania because he is also in quarantine as well.
I heard he might actually go and self-quarantine himself afterwards. That's the latest I heard.
Meltzer said that they were thinking about doing that, but McMahon said no.
Okay, he's doing the right thing.
Yeah, so McMahon says no on that. Andrade is injured. He got injured at Raw this week during a match. And him and Hector Garza was supposed to battle against the Street Profits for the Raw championship. So they're scrambling on what to do from that. Also, they say that Asuka was on Raw, did her spot in Mania, but left, and I think she self quarantined herself.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Cesaro. Cesaro as well is also self quarantined himself. They don't have the illness or anything, but it's just they just don't want to get it. Same thing with Kairi Sane. Most recently right now, Roman Reigns, because he just recently with his battle with leukemia again.
Especially, I think he's probably the most vulnerable of all of them because of that.
Yes.
With immunity issues and all that.
Yes. So, and I was reading today that they're even saying that even Drew McIntyre might not even show up. And he is supposed to headline against Brock Lesnar.
Well, it's a big deal. It's a big, serious, pandemic right now.
Yeah.
All this is understandable. It's not one of those things where people are going to question why or not they're going to show up. they're not gonna be criticized for like not being a superstar or doing their job or anything like that. It's just understandable.
No, yeah, of course. And there's they said that they do have a couple backup plans. One of the backup plans is since Roman Reigns is not going to be able to wrestle against Goldberg, they say that they're going to throw in Braun Strowman and against Goldberg,
which would be great because it'd be the first time he won his Triple Crown if he wins. I'm predicting he's going to win.
I don't know.
We can't keep on Goldberg.
I don't know about that. Well, a lot of people were saying that if Goldberg was going to drop it to somebody, could have dropped it to Big E.
No.
Well, they wanted him. No. They just wanted him to have it to main, you know, to headline the WrestleMania. But usually, they want to have a long term champion. So the person he's going to drop it to is probably next. And this is the right time for Braun.
So he'll be just like a transitional champion then.
Goldberg was a transitional champion.
Yeah, but I personally think that Strowman would be a transitional champion as well. He'll have it for like a couple of months, but then they'll just drop it off. They'll just tell, okay, well, you're gonna go give the belt to such and such.
True, but it's really, I mean, be honest, it's it was meant for Roman, and since Roman's out of the picture. I think he's not going to be wrestling for a while because of this, so he might keep it long enough and make it more accolade, you know, have more accolades on it. So, yeah, in terms of transition, both are transitional champions, but it's really for the next guy, and the next guy is having to be Braun.
Right.
And Braun might just keep it warm for everybody, to be honest. He's one of the youngest and one of the healthiest, so let's keep him on him the long better, actually. I'm going to response with the COVID thing, so.
Yeah. What about you, Chewy? What do you think? Yeah.
Well, I think this is for the best that they are self-quarantined, because, I mean, seriously, this is not a joke, so it's good that they're doing this. So far, I already heard that Edge and Randy Orton already did their match.
Yeah, I heard about that too.
So it's already recorded. And the same thing with Seth and Kevin Owens. So I know two matches already been done. So whoever was left, they're doing the matches right now. I mean, not right now, but like as of Wednesday.
Yeah,
they already did the wrestling match. So we're gonna see what we're gonna see.
So we
get what we get. There's no other way.
Yeah, and
but okay, just to be honest about WrestleMania, I say one thing. With the WrestleMania, the most boringest card lineup in WrestleMania history always end up being the best. For example, WrestleMania 12, WrestleMania 13, and WrestleMania 14. The lineup were horrible, but they always had that one great match each. I mean, WWE makes good lemonade.
Oh, that's true, and history has proved it.
Yeah. It wasn't for WrestleMania 13, Stone Cold would not have gotten over. Bret Hart wouldn't have gotten over as a heel. You know, 12, Shawn Michaels, Iron Man match, he wouldn't have gotten over. And that kind of stuff. And 14 is when Stone Cold became champ. Nobody remembers the rest of the lineup, to be honest.
No, that's true. Yeah. And speaking of WWE, just to remind everybody that for a limited time right now, WWE is opening the app and also its site for free, so people can watch any of the old WrestleManias, any of the old shows, matches, and everything within reason. Because there are certain parts of the library that you can't have access to unless if you have membership to it. So for a limited time, and I think that they might stream WrestleMania for free as well for everybody for the two nights of WrestleMania. I don't know, but they say, but there's talks that they might do that. So so if you guys don't have the WWE app or go onto their website, you can go on there and look at some of their stuff for free. Highly recommend that. If you guys get a chance, watch the Stone Cold Broken Skull sessions. Really good. That's my personal take. What about you guys? What's your favorite thing on the WWE app that you would recommend for people to watch?
I'm old school, so anything old school from the 90s and 80s. Documentaries also. They're pretty good.
Yeah.
The new show so much is not for me because they're more kind of like a... I don't want to use the word tame. They're more like breaking character too much. But the old days, you know, right. Faye was kind of strong, so I like the old days more. They're always in character. Mm. I mean, the only person I can think of that's in character all the time is Lacey Evans. So,
yeah. Yes.
But, yeah, the new shows, they're like, they're all friends afterwards, and they're all talking. You know, like divas, stuff like that. It's not for me. It's good if it was a shoot interview, but it wasn't. It's more like they're... After the show, they do like ride along and stuff like that. It's too entertainment, not enough wrestling. I'm more in towards the wrestling with like just the right amount of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So I say just watch the old matches. They're still good. The old matches are even better than like some of the ones nowadays.
Yes, I totally agree on that. Like I always watch the Royal Rumbles, the old Royal Rumbles. I particularly watched the 92-93 Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. But quite possibly the best Royal Rumble, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So.
Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels one. Yeah. Well, also, there's a lot of hidden gems I never saw before. They acquire a lot of stuff in the library and stuff.
Yeah, that is true. What about you, Chewy? Anything you recommend?
I don't have the app, so if they have NXT, we'll watch those. And yeah, in the 80s and 90s wrestling, that's what I grew up with. And some of the WCW matches, if they have that.
No, they do have the WCW, like
Class of Champions.
They do have. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do they have some ECW matches as well?
Yes.
Yes, they do.
All right, I'm gonna try and. I would recommend trying to watch some of the matches between Spike Dudley and Mike Awesome.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I'm more of a Jerry Lynn and RVD type guy, though. So.
Those are good too. Yeah, but that's just because, and hey, he tried. Man, they failed some hard.
Yeah,
he was really the underdog for that
organization.
Yes.
No, he's not. He's not the underdog of that organization. Mikey Ripley is. Ah!
I didn't consider him dumb. Well,
he was a former ECW champion, too. That's why he's the underdog. He's the underdog story.
Yeah.
And he has no finisher. He does not have a finishing move. All he had was
he had one.
And which was really... Somebody had it made for him. He never actually claimed it.
No, that's true. That's actually true.
I don't know about claiming, so... But he did have the whippersnapper.
Yeah, I know. Somebody gave that to him.
Someone gave it to him?
Yeah, they just gave the nickname during a wrestling match. Because when you first won the title, he didn't have a finishing move. Yeah. They had to do something, so they did something.
It was pretty much like a... It was pretty much a stunner.
Yeah.
Kind of like a disco.
Yeah, we know what Whippersnapper is.
Yeah. I like that name, Whippersnapper.
Mm-hmm. Rise and Fall.
The one that I barely see professional was Jack Victory.
Oh yeah,
he's big though.
I know. I saw him wrestle one time. in the old DVDs or VHS or whatever. But that's it. So he did wrestle. But then he decided to do his gimmick of being disabled for that stable, and that's it. But I know he actually wrestled.
Well, a lot of them wrestled, but they became injured later on and couldn't do anything else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially like the Pitbulls, 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like, what's his name was injured forever until he finally went to WCW. Shane Douglas, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Moving on.
Yep. ECW. All right, moving right along. AEW news. As we all know, since WWE is doing tapings of shows for the next couple of weeks, and including WrestleMania, it's been reported as well that AEW is going to be doing for the next couple of weeks until further notice. Either they're be told to shut down or not. That they're going to be taping ahead the upcoming weeks of Dynamite and Dark. So what do you guys think of that?
I think that's the tactful approach of it. You know, just proceed, you know, with caution and inside of safety of the wrestlers. So no audience, no crowd, just like they've been doing for the past 2 or 3 weeks. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
At least they're providing us with some form of entertainment. So I give kudos to them.
Yes.
The show must goes on, to them, in their opinion. Within reason.
Yes.
Surprisingly.
And, especially too with this week's Dynamite, where they didn't have the wrestlers at the side, at the outside of the rings, like how they had the week prior to. They were in the back. You saw them in the separate screen that they were in the back cheering on and some of the locker rooms.
Yeah, they were in a trailer. There was gambling again, which is funny. And some other stuff. It was cool. I liked it.
Yeah, it's a form of social distancing and the creative ways to show it. I think that was what I was trying to emphasize the most. Because the week prior to that, like you said, they were in the audience, in the crowd, and they were really not practicing what they're preaching. Because, you know, they're human. They want to, you know, be on the show and be part of, you know, with their friends and their coworkers. It's hard to social distance yourself when you're, like, you know, a social creature. So, kudos. I hate to say it, but WWE is actually doing a good job of it, and AEW is just taking suit and been following, even though they done it first, I think. But they finally need to take this more seriously.
And also, too, also reports coming out from Japan that Stardom is still going on strong. They're still doing empty arena shows. And they're putting all these empty arena shows on their YouTube channel. So you can watch an actual pay-per-view for free on Stardom's YouTube channel. And same thing with New Japan Pro Wrestling. They are getting ready to start doing a couple shows as well, but in empty arenas, kind of like Stardom. Because earlier this year, we reported that New Japan Pro Wrestling acquired Stardom, and since Stardom kind of set out this blueprint of, okay, we can still do wrestling shows in Japan like this without people, and New Japan is kind of getting ready to do shows like that as well. So you guys are ready to see New Japan in empty arenas, or?
To be honest, I don't see a difference. It's the crowds got kind of quiet anyway. And then, you know, Japanese crowd is more polite besides the claps of good spots. And with Stardom, they've been performing wrestling wild crowds forever. I mean, I used to watch Asuka do an oil wrestling match in Stardom. So, with no crowds or anything. And while even no ring, it was just a... It's a showcase of their ability. So it's not new for Stardom. New Japan, it might be a little bit different for them. But I don't think it's that big of an adjustment.
Yeah. What about you, Chewie? What do you think?
Yeah, I like what they're doing so far. I mean, they're keeping the rules of social distancing. They keep it. They're still entertaining. They've been alright. I like that. I'm still watching both NXT and AEW. And they're doing okay. Some of them might well so for NXT, but some of them are like, man, like, yeah, I want the NXT, yeah. I mean AEW, yeah, I like what they're doing.
That's good.
I like the, you know, kind of like what MJF is doing. They're still the gambling gimmick, still, like I said, social distancing, but making it entertaining. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, I saw Billy Gunn in the trailer. I was like, oh, there it is. It's like little cameos of people who you know they're there, but they haven't seen. They've been on TV in a while. But like, oh yeah, he's still there. Yeah, like go see those Easter eggs. Like, hey guys, remember me? I'm still here. Okay.
Right. Okay. And speaking of which, I was going to ask you, Chewie, any news from Lucha Libre down in Mexico about what's going on with the whole coronavirus thing?
Okay, this is what I heard. So, what I saw on, like, on the news.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, news as in YouTube.
Okay.
Okay, so far they're on stage 2 on the lockdown for the coronavirus. So therefore so far they have closed down people coming outside, or not closed down, but like kind of like we're doing here in California.
Right.
So therefore, El Coliseo, La Arena Coliseo, where they do the matches, and also the other one, that CMML, so both CMML and AAA are literally like just closed down. Like the wrestlers are not even, the wrestlers are not doing the same thing here. They're literally just not doing anything. So there's no matches. So far, I have seen.
No, I mean, they're just matches. I mean, I can tell you that for a fact.
Huh?
I can tell you for a fact there are matches still. And I think the way that Mexico's approaching the lockdown is more like, come on, man, just be smart. And everything's closed, school's closed. But, you know, business still continues as usual. But don't go outside and use some, you know, a lot of partying and stuff like that. More tactful than States.
Yeah, but this is what's kind of obvious because I heard in the news. The only people that aren't finding the rule are the cartels. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I know that business still continues. Like, Lucha Libre is still going on. If AAA just did one in Cancun, I think, no, they're doing it right now, actually. I take it back. It's this weekend. It's one in Cancun right now.
I don't know about Cancun, but like I only saw this one video, and that's where I get my information from YouTube channels.
No, I just go to the posters.
So far, but if they do shows like Wave 4, then yeah. But other than that, so far I haven't heard that they're doing matches in the Arena Coliseo.
No, talking about wrestling matches in general. They still are doing them. They're just not probably in a like big location like the big Coliseum in Mexico City or anything like that. They're more like in a local house, you know, like
places. Yeah.
But they still go on. I mean, the AAA is still doing theirs. I saw advertisement for them all the time. There was a wrestling match I think here like 2 months ago or a month ago, but then you know, it wasn't really a big outbreak. They still had those advertising. Yeah. AAA is still doing their stuff. I don't know about CMLL. I really don't watch that one that much.
Yeah, that's probably true. Cause that's the last thing I heard. Anything up from, let's say, for like 3 days, let's say like 2 days ago and on, I have not watched anything or heard anything.
Yeah. I think the Cancun one's live right now. You can watch it on YouTube. Just go to it might be live. Yeah, the AAA in Cancun. Wow, only person just, watch Triple A still?
Is there a specific channel that I watch, or do I just type in Triple A? Because I wouldn't know where they go. Sometimes they actually put
Triple A. They
actually see me and they.
Yeah, you could just.
I wouldn't know what name. Like,
I'll just type in Lucha Libre Triple A, and it will actually just pop up.
But like really old matches.
No, like current one. If it's because I think a lot of Triple A does is they put a lot of stuff in YouTube Live. Especially right now in the quarantine, they a lot of stuff is free, so you could probably just watch it. I think it should be live streaming right now. In 2:00 as it starts. I'm just reading a poster outside the house, okay?
Alright.
I live in Mexico.
Okay. Okay, so one more thing.
Okay, found it. Lucha Libre,
I bet you probably like an empty arena, but this still the show continues.
Yeah, I bet it's like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So one more thing that we should talk about.
More thing, Jackie.
Okay. Vice, Dark Side of Wrestling. What do you guys think of that series so far? The new season.
Está bien. It's good. Oh no, the new season I haven't seen. I've seen the old ones.
The new season just came out one episode so far, and it's been like the best talk about episode in the past ever. I mean, so.
Oh, they're talking about the one thing.
Yep, that was a two-parter. Huh? So.
Yeah.
It was. We talked the series in general that one episode because each episode could be his own topic and it could take forever. I mean, I could.
Each episode could be like its own topic. Like, trust me, we could do one show a week and talk about each episode. But let's just talk about the Chris Benoit one.
Yeah, I could do the bullet points of previous ones and then leading up to the current one. Like the ones I watched were like the good ones, like Montreal Screwjobs. The death of Bruiser Brody was good. I mean, you should watch that.
Oh, that one. Yeah, that tragic. One was good.
Sad story. The other one was by Dino Bravo.
Yeah, that one too.
Who killed him?
Mm-hmm. And
the Bruce Brody one was the most that was the most interesting one for me for the time being.
Which one?
Bruce Brody.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the Bruce Brody.
Yeah, the one that still knows what's going on is Sago Vega.
No, according to that thing. Well, see, we could talk about it all day with this. It's
like he was in the
Tony Atlas was there. Sabio Vega was there,
and he was there.
I know. So was Tony Atlas. Mr. USA.
Atlas was in Puerto Rico.
Yes. He was there during the stabbing. Yeah. He's the one who took him to the hospital. He's the one who carried him to the gurney. He's the one who stayed with him until he died.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And Sabio Vega was the one who got him Tony Atlas' bag.
There was a lot of info, so I'm trying to remember. Tony Atlas.
Yeah. Mr. USA. And then Sabio Vega is the one who helped Tony Atlas get out of their place because he's like, dude, you need to get out. And he got his bag for him. Told him to
Yeah, because they want to kill him too.
Yeah, because he was talking too much. And also Dutch Mantel, that's the one that surprised everybody the most.
Which one?
Dutch Mantel.
Yeah.
He was there at the Bruiser Brody, this one enthralling one, that was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bullet points, Screwjob, Bruiser Brody, and now we got to I'm surprised they even got through the Owen Hart that well. But the one with Benoit is probably the most interesting one.
Yeah.
I had too much to say in that.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the Benoit?
What were you going to say?
About what? In general, it's like each vice, it doesn't make you feel. Either way, you don't lean one way towards the other. It just you guys accept it as is. That's what I liked about it. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, nobody's wrong or right per se. but you just gotta accept this is what happened. It might be a tragic, you know, event, but life moves on kind of attitude.
Kind of like
the what happened with Chris Benoit, and how he's the not so recent but still somewhat new, the interview of his son. I forget his name.
David.
Remember I gave you the links.
David Benoit.
That he said like he moved on, and he told me this Lily did not like have any connection towards me, so I move on. And so far, like the interview mentioned that he's gonna wear his father's gear, and he's gonna try to do his moves. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, he's moving on without that affect them in a way. It is, yeah.
Yeah, and no, it affected him in the beginning. He was being bullied a lot.
Yeah, I know that. Very slowly,
he got support.
Getting himself together.
Yeah, he got support.
He got support.
People helped him.
Yeah, that was an AEW.
And then, I think the ending of that thing was touching the most, when his aunt, well, the Nancy Benoit's sister, Sandra, she came in and actually met with David, and they thought they wanted, to move on with each other, I guess, because in his eyes, she's still his aunt, because he saw Nancy as a mother. His dad's the one that killed her sister, so. And they both felt like they didn't want to do anything with each other. Turns out the family was just lying to each other to keep them apart, because it was awkward to protect them. Turns out they were happy to see each other. I thought that was the best part when because Jericho, made that announcement.
Yeah,
that was like, wow. It got to you. That's why it was like one of the best documentary series I've seen so far.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, it is. It was really good.
I'm looking forward to seeing him with his the wrestling ties with the one I wonder if he's gonna have the ones that he wore on WCW with the had like the red spot like on the bottom.
Yeah, I know, John. Mm-hmm.
But
here's the question though: is like, why would you homage yourself after something that happened? I mean, to a person who did something so horrendous. I understand it was his father, but it's one of those things where, is it too soon? If you watch a documentary, you could feel like, even Benoit, like JR said, Benoit probably wouldn't want himself to be in the Hall of Fame after doing what he did.
Yeah.
So it's understandable that they will shun him and try to, try to erase him. Or not erase him, but just try to showcase what he did. Just because the mention of the name is so saddening. Is it possible for him to wrestle in his dad's gear and pay tribute to his father, who happened to be the killer of his wife and son?
So
it might be too soon for that, though. I mean, I support him. I understand where he's coming from. But it's hard to escape that shadow.
Mm-hmm. I'm
gonna try and make his new thing for him. Just him.
I would have to say for Benoit's kid is like, I know what he wants to do, and I gotta give him credit for that. Give credit where credit is due. But in terms of time wise. Personally, I think now's not the right time to do that, to what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. I would say maybe give him a couple more years and then see where he can go. Because we don't know, we don't know if he's going to be just like his dad, or he could be a different type of wrestling style. But as of him putting on his dad's gear and going out and doing doing all that, I think, to me, personally to me, I think it's a little too soon for that.
No, it is. I mean, for me too, but I understand why he would do it, though. He is a man's son.
No, I understand where he's coming from, why he wants to wear his dad's gear. I understand that. I respect that. But I'm just saying, I think it's a little too soon for him to come out and just do that.
Yeah, it's just...
Just get it out with...
Yeah, the stigmatism that comes with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. It's David Benoit was actually, even though the story was about Chris Benoit, David Benoit was kind of like, he's the last surviving victim, because he became a victim of himself of the tragedy. So and then with him, no, and also his aunt, how they amends, they never actually hate each other. That's the thing. It was just was kind of weird that they were kept apart for so long because of this, and not realizing they had nothing against each other. And then with closure at the end, when they finally met up through, Chris Jericho. Which you told me was surprising, right? When it was Chris Jericho that was the one that's so tied with Chris Benoit.
That was the thing that really surprised me the most out of this was, like, I never knew how much involved was Chris Jericho in this. You know, like, he was the one that, like, brought this family together. He was the one that he was connected in a positive way, and connected in so other ways to it. That was the thing that was surprising. I didn't know Jericho would go that far to do that for that family, and I have to give him a lot of respect. Like, I have a lot of respect for Jericho, but this kind of just like wants me to give him more respect because he went out his way to did all this,
Yeah, it's surprising because he wasn't there during the tribute thing for Benoit.
Right. But he was only one of the two wrestlers that actually, it was him and Vicky Guerrero that always checked on the family. It's like, hey, how are you doing? Everything's all right and stuff like that.
No, it was Chavo and Jericho. I think David.
Oh, was it Chavo? Oh,
yeah, Chavo. Okay,
it was Chavo.
Because Chavo is the one who helped produce the show. He was one of the producers. Yeah, Chavo Guerrero was actually one of, like, helped produce the show. He's one who came up with the concept, I think.
Yeah. So, but still, it was like, you learn something new from this, and from this. It's crazy.
Oh yeah, with the Chavo thing, I was gonna say the one part where he broke his producer role, and he went in and gave David Benoit the hug during the interview. So that was like one of the and they actually showed it. I was like, wow, he actually broke cameraman role, the camera or the boom mic role, and he just went in and just gave him a hug while he was crying. So it's one of those touching moments kind of thing.
Yeah, like he broke like a quiet taboo rule in recording and stuff like that, and I thought that that was awesome. He did that. A lot of respect to him.
Yeah, it's weirdly, but it's like kind of a nature show. You're not supposed to get involved. Yeah. You're supposed to be, but he actually like, nah, I can't do this, because he's involved. He feels like he's already involved.
Yeah.
So yeah, the Vice series in general, it's. So far, it's probably the best HBO series I've been watching, and it's very good. It's better than what other WWE documentaries they put out.
I have to agree with you on that. Yes, I 100% agree.
Besides that one, you got anything in mind that jumps to you?
The Bruiser Brody one.
That's tragic.
Yeah, because that was just like. Man, there's like so many different stories about that one, but I think we can get to that one for next week. But I just gotta say, there's so many different stories that led to what happened. So hearing other points of views from it, and especially the people who were there, that kind of just like, wow,
I'm just gonna agree with the three people who were definitely there the vicinity of time. They all kind of said the same thing. Salvio, Tony Atlas and Dutch Mantel. Yeah. I those three are like pretty much their stories on point with each other. So I have to go with them. I don't know the other side of the story, but it doesn't seem like it's credible in any sense of a way. And he wasn't, and Jose Gonzalez was not found innocent. He was acquitted because there was nobody to testify against him.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where, like, he's not really an innocent man. He was just acquitted.
Yeah.
Because of the delay of mail from the continental U.S. from Puerto Rico. Which I'm surprised they couldn't just overturn it anyway. But, you know, it's... I don't know about politics back then, so...
Yeah. That's what it is. Okay. All right, then, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for this week for Retro Shoots. I hope you guys had a great time listening to us talking. Next week, we'll dive into the Bruiser Brody one because that one's also a fascinating topic to talk about from the Vice's Dark Side of the Ring. And also some other more interesting wrestling news for the following week as well. Until then, I am Captain Katz, and on behalf of Chewy and Omega Kai, I hope you guys have a great time. Have a wonderful week. Stay safe, wash your hands, and... you know, keep your social distancing away, and I hope you guys enjoy your wrestling and everything. Till then, take care. Have a great one.
Do the Papa Shango voodoo.
And then a little bit for Amazon.
I said, do the Papa Shango voodoo finisher. Just give him the voodoo spell and let him choke and vomit. Everybody should have that gimmick in wrestling now. It's like, this is the best time to bring back that gimmick.
Yeah.
Oh, the voodoo doll. And then you got the Mexican guy. Oh, he's a witch doctor. He's cool door. He's doing a spell right now. Everybody faints. One, two, he's out. Nah. And then you got the Japanese like shaman guy from the Shaman Kings. Mm-hmm. The Shinto priest. He's calling all the spirits to fight him. This is the future of wrestling, folks. Accept it.
Okay.
The Chinese ghost fighter.
So, okay, well, I'm going to try and...